It's interviewing Mr. Bob Barkin on 20th of July 2011. When were you born, Bob?
I was born on Tunnel Row, at Pyle, on the 23rd of October 1920.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I had a brother older and a sister who wasn't born for another 9 years. When I left school, I had to take me birth certificate, and that was the only time as I knew I hadn't been born on 23rd of October.
Oh.
I'd been born on, according to my birth certificate, it was 22nd, and that was because my dad went to bed on 22nd.
Yeah.
And of course he got woke up at night with me, like, being born a Tom, and then, because he'd gone to bed on 22nd, that's what went on birth certificate.
What were your dad and mum's name, Bob?
George. They were quite a big family of them. They originated from Fletcher's Row, I think, at bottom of Nottingham Lane there. I know that they lived there for a while, but they'd about, I reckon there were six brothers and five sisters. One of the brothers, although I never knew him, but he died quite early.
Mm.
And that's about the only fatality they had, you know, in the family. But Annie, he was in First World War and he lost his leg. That he was the eldest and he lost his leg. But other than that, they did very well. They were fairly long livers. They weren't bad.
Yeah, hopefully it's passed on in genes then for you.
Well, it used to be, I mean, I've got a brother, 92.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he's,
yeah.
They were also born at Pyle. As far as I know, I don't think they went away. I don't think she had to go away.
We'd had a minor.
Ah, minor, ah. Pyle, most.
Yeah.
Pollington, I think you're at.
Yeah.
Fairly early.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Pollington, that had shut. I don't think I can ever, well, in fact, I'm sure I can't ever remember it going.
Oh.
They were always at Pyle,
yeah.
In my knowledge, yeah. Like.
What's the earliest thing you can remember in your life? Do you remember your first day at school?
The first?
Or out before?
Well, I can remember, it's very vague, and of course, as I grew up, I could remember it quite clearly. But we had a mangle, one of them old wooden roll of mangle, and it's got a broken catch on it, and they were sort of just, as you lifted it up, this catch dropped.
Yeah.
And it were a cast iron job, as you know, them old, this one Tunnel Row, of course. And I swung on it, and I was three at the time. I swung on this here, there were like a bar went across, and the catch, there was nothing to hold it.
Yeah.
It just simply on its own weight. And it come down, and it caught me. And luckily, we'd got like a big shelter. They were very crude, like they were only miners' cottages, as you know. Just same as New Row is now, without the kitchens.
Yeah.
That's what
they
were like. I think my dad had built it. It was like a big shelter, because they'd got like a copper for washing. And he'd built this, and it was big thing over, keep dry. And that's what luckily, he'd built, because we'd only got, like, we shared a backyard with next door, and drain were in the middle. And he'd built a great big drain. I think it must have been something like 18-inch square, something like that. They were no craftsmen, but at any rate, he'd built that, and it was lucky as he was, because this thing shot me straight underneath it. Otherwise than that,
yeah.
I shouldn't have been talking to you. That was first. And the second one was starting school.
Where you go, Cudnor Park?
No, I went to Jacksdale.
Oh.
We had to go to Jacksdale from Pyle.
Oh.
As far as I know, there was nobody from Pyle went to Cudnor Park, although it was quite a bit nearer than Jacksdale.
I suppose a different county and all, wouldn't it?
Well, it should be Nottingham, like, and Derbyshire. Funnily enough, now we're in Nottinghamshire postal area. We're still Derby first.
That's right, yeah.
And I can always remember it was Miss Preston. She was headmistress at Jacksdale Infants.
Yeah.
There were two classes. And I can always remember spragging my feet again, door yawn, and my mother took me to school, and I had no intentions whatever of going there. And an Aaron Miss Preston dragged me in, and that I can't remember much else about that. They were while they were in there, they were, I don't know whether she were a teacher's assistant. I don't think she were a teacher, because they were Miss Preston, and in other class were Miss Booth. The Miss Booth married George Cake, as were a teacher at Jacksdale. Yeah. They were about standard 7, top class. And they got divorced, and it were a big do with a lot of, I wouldn't say scandal so much, but they got divorced anyway, and which were very rare in them days. And his next wife was Matthew Holland's daughter.
Yeah. Oh.
And it wasn't all that long. I went through school, and I think he left just before I did. And they were made headmaster at Selston. And they always reckon Matthew Holland had had a bit of influence on that lot. But he was a nice chap.
Do you like school?
I did, I loved it.
Were you sporty?
Not particularly, no. I went in for sports, of course, but you had to do more or less.
Yeah, was it?
I used to do a bit of high jumping.
Ah.
With old-fashioned straddle leg up.
Leg up for
you. There were no Fosbury flops.
There's all sorts now, isn't there?
I did get, what were it called? There were me and a chap named Tyler from Westwood. Forgotten his first name. They were about a year older than me. I might have been 2 years. A very tall, gangly youth, you know. And both on us went to... No, I beg your pardon. He didn't go. We were both in high jump. Well, of course, they were a lot taller than me. I don't know whether I won or him. But whatever it was, I were picked to go to... Now, what was next to know? There were West... West Knots.
You mean when they had all schools together?
They were quite.
Yeah.
Quite a few, and
you must have been quite good at that.
I come second in that.
Must have been quite good then.
Well, I didn't class myself. I did a bit of running. There were always some better than me. There were. They both left Jacksdale. There were Jack Sherriston. They were about 6 months or so younger than me, and another youth named Ralph Sewell, but they were very good, he was.
Yeah.
He was a sprinter, Ralph Sewell, but I don't know where they've got to. I don't know, Jack made a career out at RAF, Jack Sherriston.
Did you have regular pals in them days?
Well, as a young lad, it was a chap named Rex Shooter. They only lived, his dad were a deputy at Pitt. And they lived 1, 2, 3 doors from us on Tunnel Road.
Yeah.
They were my regular school friend.
Yeah.
But they were nearly 2 years older than me. And he went to live in America after the war. Oh. They were in auxiliary air force. When you join like territorials, but it was air force. Then he carried on. He went to Canada and America, and he finished up, emigrated.
Yeah.
But I did have friends. There were a youth named George Thacker, lived on Sedgwick Street. He was a big friend of mine as a school lad, and we kept friendly, well, all his life. He's been dead a year or two now.
But you used to play all around Pit and Pipe Yard, didn't you? You used to go around there.
What, as kids?
Yeah.
Well, I can't ever remember going round Pipe Yard. And yet I started there. That was my main job. But no, I can't. I can't honestly remember. I'll tell you what I did, what I can remember. When I were a school kid, my dad used to be union. He used to collect union money.
There
were two unions then at Pitt. There were Knots Miners and Spencer Union. And I don't know which one it was he collected for. That's what he did. And that's all I can remember. I used to... There were a footbridge off at top from Pyle Officers, right at top of Pyle, and it spanned lines and went up to Jubilee. But I remember we always used to beyond there, like watching for colliers coming home and that sort of thing. But now I don't know as we once got into a bit of trouble with the main wreck shooter. In a bit of trouble, we did a bit of damage on it was an old Wakeman's hook, really, down bottom of getting toward main line at but it was on Oakes's property, but that were it went out really, but we did get a bit of a tan in for that. We didn't get away scot free, like.
What sort of games did you play, Bob? What did you sort of get up to when you were kids? I mean, there'd be no
confusion. Well, it was mostly cigarette cards when you used to it was like a gamble. Gambling, like flipping them, and
that's it.
They were that, and then there were marbles. That were also gambling, but nobody took it as gambling
No.
Other than that, I mean, I played football a bit, but it was only, I suppose I was overshadowed with my brother. Now he was a sportsman.
He
were always pretty good at football, cricket mostly.
Could family afford any bikes or out in them
days? I'd got a bike, gosh. We went to John Cassadden's auction place in Old Fritton, and that's where, more or less, where that Tudor restaurant is now. You know the big car park at Old Fritton? And it was down that side where Argos is now, down that. Well, John Cassadden's, of course, they were a big name in Old Fritton at that time. They ran Nottingham Old Fritton bus service and that. And he had these, like a furniture room, and then he used to run these auctions. I don't know what day of week it was, but anyway, it was about once a fortnight, something like that. And he bought me a bike. My dad took me. I don't know whether he thought, because they were in to pay for, because they were going to secondary school, brother war, and they had to pay quite a lot out for clothes and what have you for him, and I don't know whether they thought they were evening it up a bit, but they bought me this here bike. It were a lady's bike, but nevertheless it were
a bike.
It were a bike, and of course I were made, I could ride a bike then, but we learnt to ride a bike, because on Tunnel Row there were a slope down from our front garden, with no back garden, front garden, and there was a slope down to the next row of houses that's there now, new row, and that's where we learnt, and it were an old frame and two wheels without any tyres. Tyres are old. just the bare wheel. And even them had come out if you lift it frame up, because you're only just sort of stuck your thing in, and after about 22 falls you managed to keep going. But then I could ride.
Yeah.
A bit of time he bought me that. And I tell you, when he bought it, we came back on to Nottingham Bush from Old Fritton, and they said, what's up? He said, I'm going to ride it, Tom. I thought, what the hell do you think I am? Riding for all that road from Old Fritton. And he bought a chair, somewhat similar to that.
Yeah.
As well as that bike. We brought both things.
On bus.
And they wouldn't let us go downstairs. We had to carry them upstairs.
Yeah.
That's how I got my bike.
Did your dad keep any animals in them days?
On Tunnel Row?
Yeah.
Well, animals. We had fowls and pigs. I should say there were 10 houses on Tunnel Row, and a house, and there might have been another, but I can't remember. I think Jowett's might have had a. The Rose and Jowett's used to keep pigs anyway, but ours were a proper, I don't know who'd built it, not my dad, but it was a proper pigsty. And I think he had built the fowl pen, that was a great big fowl pen. But we'd always got a pig.
Yeah.
Well, two pigs mostly. He didn't used to buy them in one. Then he bought four young ones, like, and raised them. When they were, of course, there were other other people kept them on other roads and all that. And when they were killing, they used to go round asking if you wanted any meat off of this ear, same as we had to do when we killed that. Yeah. But it was a chap named George Barker. We used to call him Uncle George. They were not such a nice chap, yeah. and they were very, very close to family, and they used to kill. They used to drag them from pigsty, and it was a long garden, piece longer than to that edge, I say, half as far again. Yeah. We had to drag them all, well, they had to do, like, we were only kids, and they were squealing all road down, and they'd have this bench, and lifted it on, and then it would knife round throat like. There were no human killer then. And blood, it used to absolutely gush out, and gradually it'd die off like. And then we all used to have to muck in, because in copper, that's all got to come through ours. Might have gotten out in front room. They got copper going for boiling water, and they got these scrapers that used to hold them upright like that, and it was like about a four inch disc sort of thing with serrated edges.
Yeah.
And that's what we had to do, keep scalding this water on and grab it and getting all airs off.
Crikey.
And then George Barker, he'd come up when it were all, he used to, once he'd killed it, that were it. And then when you'd got it all cleaned off, he used to come and slice it into joints and mostly you'd have one ham, and then one side would be beaten, and then rest you used to sell as whatever they could get for it, I suppose.
You'd plenty beaten and ham in them days, then, wouldn't he?
Well, and yet, you know, it's only later years that you appreciated what it was, because it always seemed to be salty, and the reason was they were salty because when it would be, while you were making bacon, it was like, you used to buy salt in a brick, and it'd be about like that, and perhaps about 7 inch square, something like a big, and a chap named Rose used to sell that, a blacksmith on Pile Bottoms, where Earnshaw's buses are now. He was a blacksmith, but he also kept a shop, Providence Road, the nearest house to the railway.
Yeah.
That then, and he'd got a longish garden.
Yeah.
And a big shed at bottom. Dobbsers lived there afterwards, and they ran sticks and all sorts of things. They kept the shop, but that's where he used to get this salt coming in bulk, and then that's how he used to buy it. I think it was a shilling for a block of salt, and that's, you used to have to chomp a nog off and then grind it up, and you made it, and that's, and he keeps rubbing this here salt in, but he never seemed to get rid of it. And I'd never heard of boiled bacon until years and years afterwards, and I thought many a time it would have been far better chopped a good nog off and had boiled bacon rather than it were all, there were no bother about no fat on it in them days, like, it were all fat.
Yeah.
But that, what with pigs and fowls, and they always had perhaps round about 8 or 9 fowls, something like that, but we'd always got plenty of eggs. And every time if it were a treat or all like that, he'd kill a fowl things like that. Yeah. But other than that, we'd never had dogs or cats or anything like that. Other folks did, of course, on the road, but...
Did you and your brothers have to go to church or chapel at all?
Yes, we did. It was, and my mum and dad, and they weren't a religious person by any means. Both my mum and dad were in choir.
Was that a chapel?
That was a chapel. That was what we used to call it, Bottom Chapel. And I've been trying to think. I know the one along that's still up, that's it's done now, but it's the building of that primitive.
Yeah.
That were primitive Methodist. I think it were called United Methodist, yeah, bottom of pile.
I think you're right there, Bob. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
Well, that's, and of course there were a balcony right top of that one, which yeah, they never were at Primitive.
Pity they knocked it down, really.
Well, we both went there morning and afternoon, and then my mum and dad quite often went at Sunday night. And I remember they'd got a ordained pastor, or whatever they used to call him. He used to have a circuit. Mm. I won't remember him coming to our house. And he was a nice chap. I talked to him a bit. And they used to, anniversaries, a chap named Harry Tate. Have you ever heard of him at Jackson Yaxdale?
No.
Well, I'll tell you what, where he lived. And he lived right on the corner of Edward Avenue and Albert Avenue. They kept a shop, that shop.
Oh, on top corner?
Right on the corner.
Yeah.
Pete Robinson had it, didn't he, as late. I don't know whether...
Only one I can remember, Shooters, and that's... That were in the 60s anyway, 70s.
Well, Pete Robinson, I used to work with him. He kept it for quite a few years. But that Harry Tate, he was choir master, a little chap he was. He used to play flute.
Oh.
And that you had to get, when you were starting off, like, for your anthem, as we used to call it, it'd be something new, and yeah, they'd start it off with flute, and you had to follow it then.
Yeah.
And because they were choir yeah, master. But then, with my brother Fred, they were always short of money, obviously, because, I mean, we were only a collier when you'd done a set of home, my dad. He went as the treasurer for United Methodist. Yeah. When he'd be a teenager.
Yeah.
And he used to do books.
Yeah.
He used to make him, not much, because, I mean, they hadn't got a deal to throw away.
No.
But, during 1926 strike, they ran a soup kitchen, that United Methodist. I don't know where the food came from, who contributed that or what, but it was quite a long strike. I think it lasted about 6 months or something like that. I know it devastated a lot of people. But we used to go as kids, when anybody whose dad were a collier on strike,
yeah,
they used to let. And we used to have twice a week. I think it were Tuesdays and Fridays. I'm not dead sure about that. Because we used to have to come home at dinner time from school. And we had soup at dinner. Broth, we used to call it. Bread and a bowl full of soup. And then we used to cook all at tea time. And it were a sandwich and a cream bun.
Oh,
one of them cream buns we... Just icing on top, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. That's what the, and I'd say, I don't know who provided the food what, but I know it were like colliers' wives that did it, and they did it in the chapel kitchen at back.
Yeah, were there any shops on top row or bottom row?
There were no shops on Tunnel Row. There were 10 houses on Tunnel Row, and 6 of them were miners' cottages. Two up and two down, except one, and that were the one between that and the four wee kitchens, and they'd got a general that made it like a three bedroom there. Yeah. There was no shops, as I say, on Tunnel Row, and we'd also got the railway lines from Colliery down to Northern Line and down to Midland Line, which didn't used to please women were washing, like, because every now and again they'd need to pull up on weighing machine and come ever so slow through while they weighed them, and if wind were in coming from Jubilee, you'd finish up on your clothes. The next one down was the third house down, New Rowers is now still there, and that's the one nearest Jubilee end.
Yeah.
There was a shop there named Mrs. Pressland kept that. Her husband, he seemed an old man then, and he used to do chimney sweeping, and she kept the shop in front room.
What was it? Was for a general?
Oh, well, she it seemed as though you could more or less get what you liked. I think what happened really, because I mean, there couldn't have been any storage space, not to carry any stock. Yeah. The front room, where the shop was, I mean, they'd got duffers and that in winter and such as that. But you could get other things. I mean, everything would go up, of course, in them days. But if you run out of butter or lard or something like that, you could always get you some. Mm. There were always some there. So it must have been, I don't know to say, how she kept the stock. I can always remember when it was getting towards bonfire night. A lot of rivalry between different roads, like who'd got best fire and that. They used to make bonfire toffee, like my mum did, and other folks as well. But if you used to go for treacle for bonfire toffee, and you'd take a jam jar for it, you used to buy it by a pound of treacle, and she'd get this here, she'd weight jar on her ordinary toffee scales, like, she'd weight jar, and then she'd get this here, and it used to come in like I imagine, must have been somewhat like a gallon can. She'd hold it, and the weight was put weights on the other side, like, and she'd put it until it started to. She'd back it, touching thing, like, she didn't want to go too much in.
Yeah.
But and then as soon as ever it were starting to come, she'd go like that there with the thing and flatter on that top and suck it. And that. I remember doing that. She was a big woman and all, no wonder. But that was that shop. I can't ever remember a shop on New Row. I'm certain there was no shop there, but there was one on very bottom row. There were 60 houses on Pyre, roughly in all together. And bottom row was the same length as New Row as is now. But I found about 17 houses on there. And there was a Mrs. Burnham. Mrs. Burnham kept a shop. That was quite a big. So I don't know quite how that came about, because it almost as though it were like a double-fronted place. Mm. Whether it was or not, I don't know. I mean, as a kid, you don't take that much notice.
No.
But, because we never went there. We knew the woman and all that, but and it was same sort of a thing, sort of a shop.
Yeah.
And then, across the other side of the
room. I'm going to ask you, something called Bindhill.
Ah, well, Bindhill, yes.
What are you building on top of it?
No, it was nothing. It was simply a ash heap, and I had an incident on there. It was a boiler. It was a boiler house that provided the steam and for a headstock, only a little thing. I don't think it was ever used as a mine, but it was a boiler. Then and it was 7 day a week job, like.
Yeah.
And it was the ash from that boiler that they used to wheel across there, and that was called. And it was a tidy heap, but it was always same as anywhere else. There's in ashes, there's still a bit of flammable stuff, and it was always on fire. And they never stopped us from going on it, because from Tunnel Row we used to go across there. You know, we could have gone just as quick down the road, but anyhow, that's where we used to go. I fell over onto one of these here things that was still alight. And that were a long while, and it was quite a pattern just there. That were Bindhill. But there were one or two incidents there. There were one, and it were a couple of lads from New Road, the long one, a chap named Jim Cliff and Billy Lowndes, and they were playing, because there were all these folks fetching that bind. They used to chuck it on the path when it got sludgy, because they were now, you know, it were all like made, you just kept your own path
because
you could walk on it. And that's what they used to fetch. They were like a, it made like a face out of this here Bindhill. and they were playing, and God knows why, and that Jim Cliff, they were throwing a dart, and he hit Billy Lyons in the eye, took his eye out. But yeah. That was just another incident of that. The Bindhill, when they were one area that had, used to sledge down it. I mean, you could sledge down the old Pye Hill when it was slippy.
Yeah.
But this Bindhill, quite a steep bit.
Yeah.
Like, if you were a bit of a daredevil, you'd belly flop down there. And,
yeah.
But that was all part of Bindhill, and that was because it was a pumping station.
Oh,
that's
right.
What the whole thing was for.
Yeah.
For pumping Selston, not Pyle, funnily enough, for pumping Selston, keeping it clean of water, clear of water.
Oh.
It ran, I think it's certainly still going, I think, when we flitted from Tunnel Row down to New Row when sister was born.
Yeah, yeah.
I should be about 10. There was another little shop on top, not a grocery, Saddler's. That were at the top of Tunnel Row. Tunnel Row ran parallel with railway lines.
Yeah.
At the end of that, there was this big workshop sort of thing. And that there were two chaps in there. One was named Billy Webb. He was a younger one. And the gaffer were a chap named Muxlow.
Oh.
Charlie Muxlow.
Oh.
And whenever it thundered and lightened in, he used to have to run to the toilet. He used to make him... and it was queer with a name like Muxlow, but it was no, that's what happened to him. And they used to do all the repairs and replacements for horse collars, because there were a lot of pit ponies then at the time.
I suppose you couldn't afford any holidays, could you, get away with when you were...
Funnily enough, it won. Now, I just don't know when it was. It'd be when we were at Top Row, I would imagine, because I think we went down there when I was about 10, 11 at the outside, because we weren't there long before we went to Laverick Road. And I think my sister, she was 9 years younger than me, she'd be no more than perhaps 18 months, something like that, because that's the reason, as we went from two bedroom and there were three on Top Row. We went in my grandma's house, and she went with another sister onto Franklin Road. But another sister, Mrs. Wilde, she kept a shop. It's still there, but not as a shop, of course. Again, where Ainshaw's buses are.
Oh,
he uses it.
Yeah.
He's got, it's his, he uses it as an office, I think, but it's the front window's all blocked up now, and she kept that, Mrs. Wilde. That was my auntie Amy.
Yeah.
She kept that shop, so of course that's the reason we didn't go to Burnham's, because she got that one just across road like that. Were, and then there was another shop. It was a woman's hat shop, and I just can't think who kept it, but it was, it might have been somebody named Slater. In fact, I'm pretty near sure. But anyway, it was on the other side. That was the nearest Midland Railway, that bottom row. And they might have been 10 houses in that, something like that. And I think the third one away, third or fourth one away from Railway Bank was this hat shop that they kept.
Yeah. Oh.
But I just can't, I wouldn't swear to it that it was Slater's, but I think there was somebody named Slater lived there. But I think it might have been her auntie that kept the shop, you know. But there were that United Methodist, and then there were four houses went there, back towards Codner Park, on that same side of the road. And then there were another four, what they used to call five houses, went facing the road leading up Pyle. They were like sandwiched between Northern Line and that row on the bottom. Well, the shops, I'll tell you what there was on bottom of Pyle, but I can't remember his name. And you know where Bill Shipley lives now? Well, they live down there, the drive, from door to, don't they?
Yeah.
Next to them, there's a bit of spare ground, isn't there? And on that ground, and it was built on stilts, And there was a wooden shop, and he sold nothing but glassware, glass and pots.
Oh.
That chap. And after he packed up, Lord, he lived in that house where Anne's daughter lives, and he owned a few houses. I think his wife had got the money. He used to do maintenance.
Lord,
his name was. He'd got quite a few houses, up and down like, but funnily enough, Jack Lord, he lost his arm in war. Yeah, that was eldest son, and him had broke my bike up.
Oh.
That bike that my dad bought me from Yonkers Avenue. And he begged me to let him have a ride on Red Road, he went, to be safe, only he run into the bridge.
Oh.
And he buckled handlebar.
Yeah.
His dad did his best to straighten it, like, but it was never the same. I never took to it quite the same after that.
No, you wouldn't do.
But it was Jack and Bert Lord, he were born a bit. They were clever enough,
but
Jack, as I say, Jack lost his arm in war, and he finished up working at Vic Allen's.
Oh,
he used to
like the mill,
and making when they were sheds, and you know, all he probably worked there before war, and they took him back on, you know. But
you ever go to Jacksdale Pictures when you were kids?
Oh God, in silence when they were silent.
Did you?
Silent and Matinees was kids, like, obviously. They weren't very good, no. It used to be twopence for matinee. And if you took anybody in, if you take them on your bike, you could get them in for nothing. And that's what we used to do, like. I'd got three cousins as were all younger, and I nearly fell under weight of one on them, like. But anyway, he went on the bike and took all three in, and their twopence as we.
Yeah.
We used to spend at Lynham's Duffy shop.
It'd be a bit strange then seeing talkies after a bit.
Well, the talkies, funnily enough, yes, it's true. But you know, the talkies, they installed all them, we'd got one up here, Regent, used to be a chapel. Then there were two at Summercoats, Alfred and Ripley. And they installed talkies over a weekend. They were never, mind you, I'm not going to say they were a perfect job.
Yeah.
There were quite a lot of times when they didn't synchronise. In the early days.
Yeah.
But the silence, they were, I remember the serials. More than not remember any of the films. I mean, there were always a film, sometimes two films, what they used to call B film, and then in between there'd be this serial. It'd perhaps be about a quarter of an hour, 10 minutes, not very long, and it'd go.
So it meant you got to go again and see next.
That was the whole idea, of course. But Tarzan of the Apes, that one.
It was Johnny Weissmuller.
Ah, oh, that were
that'd be a bit later on. Yeah.
Then they were, the Tarzan, before Johnny Weissmuller, and that were in silence. That were a serial, and all.
Yeah.
But that were silent, and when Weissmuller called, of course, that were half his gimmick, wasn't it? His call.
Did they have piano in them days, then, Bob?
Always in the middle. Always in. Sometimes it'd be playing while. During silence, that's what they'd be doing.
Yeah.
But I can't remember, it was too far back who used to play piano. But it was going all wild. I mean, that were the whole point of it. I mean, that were like part and parcel of entertainment. There were, I remember another one, it called The Green Archer. And this Green Archer, it was silent. It were black and white, of course, except that this were green.
Oh,
and it were, however they did that, I don't know. But the Green Archer, it were they were like a background of green on that.
Yeah.
But
so you're a bit strange.
It were.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, I went when I started work at 14. I was only about, I should still be 14. And I had to go down to one at Gaffer's. swilling yard, and because I want maintenance, like they'd drop on you for anything.
Yeah.
And I used to go swill yard and run errand at you and things like that. That was for them as lived at Winifred. There were Winifred House, and then across road next door to Mrs. Simpson's, that was the son. There was,
yeah.
Dyke Searson lived in Winifred House, and son lived, Les Blythe lived in it. Anyway, that next door to, there were Giles's, then Mrs. Simpson's, and then this one.
Yeah.
And I used to have to go down there, but I used to go swilling yard and going at it. On a Tuesday, no, it'd be on a Wednesday. I shouldn't be allowed to go on a Sunday. It'd be on a Wednesday. When they changed film over, I used to take one at kids in. One were going to school at the time, and one hadn't started. She'd be about 3, 4 maybe. Jean Searson. And I used to take her, because he was a shareholder at the Picture Palace. And I used to take her for preview a film.
Oh.
So, of course, it saved me paying for one half, and because they used to change them twice a week.
Yeah.
Used to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
yeah.
And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday were two separate films. So I got away with it there, like. But,
you spend all your school days at Jacksdale, then?
Pardon?
Did you only go to Jacksdale school?
Yeah. I went there. I left at the Christmas. Do 4 times a year. Were it 4 or 3? They used to leave school, and I, my birthday, like being end of October, I left at Christmas.
What were the reason you didn't go to Pitt then? I'd have thought we all.
Well,
you know, we all.
My dad never encouraged it. Even after war, when coal board took over, and a lot of people were going to Pitt, and I only know that because they couldn't have stopped me then if I'd have wanted, but no, he never as a. It rumours got Les Searson to set me on, and I went in blacksmith's shop for a year. Then I got transferred into joiners.
Were you joined by trade?
Well, I did about you see, the people who followed me, they were allowed to take the day release business and that sort of thing. That came in. But it didn't, not in my early days. And I did from 15 up till I had to go back into blacksmiths for a year, just beginning at war, right at the beginning, because the blacksmith or the striker, he went to Pitt.
Mm.
He didn't want to go up. And that's why I had to go in for a year till I joined up, and then that were.
Yeah.
But I'd had about 7 or 8 years in joiner's shop.
Yeah.
Then I went into Kilgang on Pipe Yard.
Oh, yeah. What age were you when you went in RAF then, Bob?
Pardon?
What age was you when you went in RAF?
I went in at, I should be 19. 19 when I signed up, and I didn't have to go up until in the October of 1940. I should be 19, almost 20 when I actually went up. Went from Codner Park Station to Blackpool for 5 weeks. Then from there to St Athan in Wales for, I think that was 16 or 17 weeks. Then up to Driffield in Yorkshire after you'd done your training. I was a airframe fitter. Then I went back to St Athan for another 8 weeks. Back up to Yorkshire, not to Driffield, to a place called Snaith. Then from Snaith I was so upset, and terrible place.
Yeah.
Absolutely hopeless place. I went abroad from there for 2 years. Came back from Middle East. I went out on Queen Elizabeth.
Oh.
Biggest boat there was at the time.
Experience,
But mind you, I was down. We nearly had to paddle. We were nearly that near to water.
Oh.
We weren't in any luxury. It were hammocks, and then I, as I say, 2 years in the Middle East, went all the way through as far as Sicily. Then I came back to Gibraltar, then from Gibraltar back home, back up to Yorkshire. Oh no, that's where I met Marge.
Say, where did you meet Marjorie?
Litchfield, that was. Fradley.
Ah.
Litchfield. Then I got posted again from there to Syston.
Yeah.
In North Nottinghamshire there. Then from there back to Yorkshire again. And from there I had to go again.
Yeah.
They'd never been out, they hadn't.
Ah.
So they decided I ought to go and join them. So I went to India from there. But it wasn't long. In fact, there were a lot of people, which same demob number, had been demobbed by then. They kept a lot of RAF in, and that's our one of them. But the 19 May '46, when I packed up.
You never thought of stopping in then?
I did.
Yeah.
At one time I did, yes. It didn't work out, right, but it would have been interesting, but... You play about with all sorts of things, don't you? But anyway, I went back joining her, and so then we had we went to Law Summer Court. We were at a year together at Jacksdale in Dixie Street, and then we went from there, got first house at Lower Summer Courts. That was one of our houses. Then across from there, it was only one up and one down, that was. Then we went to Church Street in Riddings. And from Church Street we came down here.
Yeah.
We've been here about 56 years.
Have you?
No.
Crikey. Are you all right later on if we want to ask you come back and have half an hour with you about Pipe Yard?
If you like.
Talk about Pipe Yard.
Yeah.
Because we're interested in Pipe Yard.
I'll tell you.
You know.
I don't know there's any...
I mean, you worked there quite a
lot. Who else have you had us talk to you about Pipe Yard?
Only one person, and he did his back in there, and Ellis.
Ellis? Sam? Sam Ellis?
Sam Ellis.
Is he still knocking about?
Yeah. I went round to see him, but he couldn't tell us much because he injured his back and it finished him.
Ah. And, he finished up firing, Sam did.
But anyway, thank you.